I do want to welcome all of you again this evening as we are gathered together for our Ash Wednesday service. I appreciate you coming out as we start our Lenten journey together. Will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. So we begin our Lenten journey this evening. And it is a journey that begins with ashes. But it doesn't end there. It is a journey that begins with ashes, but throughout the 40 days of Lent, we hope and pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be transformed. And our journey will end in something beautiful. A journey that leads to healing and leads to hope. The season of Lent is a time of movement to beauty from ashes. Lent is a period of 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter. The 40 days don't include Sundays. Sundays are always a day of celebration in the Christian church. So it's your cheat day if you're giving something up for Lent. You can have that on Sunday. That's an okay thing to do, all right? So it's 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter, not counting Sundays. And the 40 days remind us of the 40 days that Jesus spent wandering in the wilderness prior to beginning his public ministry. It is 40 days where we are encouraged to spend time in prayer and reflection. It is 40 days when we are encouraged to identify those things that get in the way of our relationship with God and give some of those things up. And it is 40 days in which we are encouraged to identify some of those practices that will help draw us closer to God and then take some of those practices up. It is a time of reflection and prayer and giving up and taking up of things so that through that journey, God can work to transform our lives and bring us to a place of beauty from ashes. We begin with ashes, but why ashes? I mean, didn't Jesus just warn in the gospel lesson that I read about not being hypocrites who disfigure your face whenever you are fasting? So why on earth is the church for centuries following this practice of using ashes to mark the beginning of our Lenten journey? The use of ashes has a long history and one that is deeply steeped in the Bible. In biblical times, ashes were a sign of sadness and sorrow and grief. You remember the story of Job in Scripture? Job, who lost almost everything. He was a man who had lots and lots of livestock and servants and a wonderful house and a beautiful family. And one tragedy after another took place until he lost all of his livestock and his servants, and he lost all of his children, and finally his own health began to suffer. And Scripture tells us that Job sat in ashes as his heart was breaking for the losses he had experienced. Ashes are a sign of the sadness that people experience, and ashes are also in Scripture a way of confessing our sin. Again and again, the prophets, as they confronted the people of Israel for not living the way God had called them to live their lives, the prophets would take ashes and place them on their own heads, a sign of confession that Israel had once again fallen away. They're a sign of sadness. They're a sign of confession. And they are also a sign of repentance. You remember the story of Jonah, right? Jonah and the whale. God called Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and preach a message of repentance. And Jonah went off in the opposite direction at first. So God sent a great fish to help him get where he was supposed to go. And the fish swallowed Jonah up. And he spent 3 days in the belly of this fish. And finally, the fish spit him up on the shores. And so reluctantly, Jonah goes into the city of Nineveh. And he goes only a half a day's journey into the city, the scripture tells us. And he preaches, and it is the shortest sermon in the history of the world. And he says, 40 days, I think it's 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And that's it. It's a one-sentence sermon. Doesn't offer a word of hope, does not offer any message of redemption or grace, just says, you guys are going to get it, and he turns around and walks out. And the scripture tells us that in Nineveh, the king was so convicted by Jonah's message that he issued a decree that every person in the city and all of the animals were to be in sackcloth and ashes as a sign of repentance. And God saw that, and the scripture says God changed his mind and spared the city of Nineveh, all 120,000 persons. Ashes are a sign of sadness. They are a sign of confessing our sin. They are a sign of repentance, a desire to turn away from the things that are wrong and turn toward the things that are right. And so we begin our Lenten journey in ashes because sometimes we are sad about the ways in which we have failed to be the kind of people God has called us to be. We begin our journey in ashes because we confess that there are times when we have done those things that we ought not to have done, and there are times when we have not done those things that we ought to have done. And we confess that before God. And we begin our journey in ashes as a sign of our repentance and our desire to begin to lead a different kind of life. We begin our journey with ashes because we are in need of healing. There is a saying in Alcoholics Anonymous that you are as sick as the secrets you keep. And so we begin our journey in ashes because we need to confess those secret things that we hold in our hearts before God so that we can receive the gift of healing that God so graciously desires to offer to us. But it begins in ashes with confession and repentance and a sense of sadness for what we have failed to do or what we have done that was wrong in the eyes of God. You remember the story of David and Bathsheba, right? David was the greatest king that Israel ever knew, a man after God's own heart, but he was far from perfect. The scripture tells us that one spring when the army of Israel was out fighting and David was in his palace, he looked out and he sees this beautiful woman bathing. And so he sends for her. And he has an adulterous relationship with her. And I won't call it an affair because I'm not sure how much power Bathsheba had to say no whenever the king sent for her, right? I mean, if the king says, come to my palace, and you're the lowly peasant, what do you do? She went to the palace, right? And then she sends word to David that she's pregnant. And it can't be her husband's because he's deployed, right? He's off fighting with the army. And so David sends for him to have him come home, and he tries to get him to go home and spend some time with your wife. But he's a good soldier, and he follows the rules, and he says he's not going to spend time with his wife while his brothers are out fighting in the field. And so then he tries to get him drunk to maybe impair his judgment. And when that doesn't work, David sends him back into battle and orders the other troops to pull away from him when the fighting gets intense so that he will be sacrificed. And then, gracious man that he is, he brings Bathsheba into the palace to be with him. And it is only when the prophet Nathan confronts him with the horrific, sordid nature of what he has done that David confesses and repents. There are two psalms in Scripture that are attributed to David that I think both were written as a result of that encounter with Nathan. One of them is Psalm 51, and it's actually subtitled A Psalm of David After Being Confronted by Nathan for Having an Affair with Bathsheba. Wouldn't you love to have your name attached to something like that in a book that's been around for 3,000 years so everybody knows what happened to inspire that? There's Psalm 51, and there's also Psalm 32. And they sound similar. And I want to read this version of Psalm 32 from The Message to help us remember why our journey begins with ashes. Count yourself lucky. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start. Your slate's wiped clean. Count yourself lucky. God holds nothing against you, and you're holding nothing back from him. These are David's words. When I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. The pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. Then I let it all out. I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. Suddenly, the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved. My sin disappeared. It was a journey to the beauty of forgiveness from the ashes of sin. So we do begin our Lenten journey with ashes. Sadness and confession and repentance, but then we continue our journey throughout these 40 days, giving up those things that interfere with us growing into the people God wants us to be. Giving up those things that interfere with us growing more and more like Jesus. And taking on those practices that help us grow closer to God so that we can be transformed into something beautiful. A journey to beauty from ashes. It is my prayer for each of us that is what this Lenten season will be. 40 days as we journey to beauty from ashes. Our prayer after the sermon today is a little bit different. It is a prayer that is going to be on the screen, and I invite you to just meditate and reflect on the words as silently as they appear. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We've come to that time in the service when you are invited to receive the imposition of ashes, if that's something you feel led to do. Some of you may prefer not to receive ashes this evening, and that's absolutely fine. Many of us who grew up in the Protestant church, for many of us, this was a newer thing. I think my grandparents probably never, on my dad's side, probably never received the imposition of ashes, and they turned out just fine. So you don't have to participate in that. If you're uncomfortable doing so, receiving the ashes, I just invite you to use this time in prayer, committing yourself to becoming a more faithful disciple of Jesus Christ in the 40 days ahead of us. For those of you who would like to share in this practice of the church, I invite you to receive the ashes as a sign of sadness for times where we have fallen short, as a confession of sin, as a sign of repentance and a desire to turn our lives around, and a sign of your decision to open yourself up to those practices that will help the Holy Spirit transform your life into a thing of beauty. I'll invite you to come down the center aisle and come before me, and I will place the ashes on your forehead in the sign of the cross. And as I place them there, I will either say, "Repent and believe the gospel. From dust you came, to dust you shall return," reminding us of our mortality and that our lives both begin and end with the dust that our Creator formed together. Or that your fate is sealed in the cross of Christ. After you come forward, if you'd like to spend some time kneeling at the chancel railing, you may do that before you head back to your seats. And we just do all of this in an attitude of prayer and thanksgiving for God's willingness to work in our hearts and lives. I invite you to come forward as you feel led.